reach in our bulletins, and we have our scripture passage for this morning is in an insert there that is titled Listening. And just give you a second. We're going to be reading our scripture together. I think it's always good to hear it through somebody else's voice and then to hear it sometimes through our own voice. And from our Gospel of Matthew, as we read these words and as we hear them and see them, I would invite you to turn your awareness to what might this have to do with listening, okay? So let's read together. Matthew writes, Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they had not much soil. And immediately they sprang up, but since they had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell upon thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And then the disciples said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Seeing, they do not perceive, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, you shall indeed hear, but never understand, and you shall indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's hearts have grown dull, and their ears are heavy of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their hearts, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. There we go. And I would heal them. Beautiful last words. May God bless not only our reading, but our hearing, our embodiment of these beautiful words of strength and purpose and abundant life. Amen. I was thinking it's good to begin with a humiliating story of yourself. So that's what you get today. A little embarrassing story of when I was just first starting in, wasn't a minister yet, it was my very first year in seminary. Here I was this, young person, just gone from a couple years in insurance, and found myself in seminary. And then the very first summer, I was in an intern program in chaplaincy training at Boston University Hospital. And it was one of my very first visits, and I was on the cardiology ward, and I walked into a room, and the smell was just so intense. It was all I could do to stay conscious. It was just powerful. And I walked into that room, and I was like, whoa. And immediately just wanted to walk back out, but you can't do that. And so I introduced myself, and I said, how are you today? And I sat down, partially so I wouldn't pass out, and I just sat down, and I was probably still, but I kind of felt like I was going, back and forth like this, and I'm trying to hang in there. I don't even think I said two words. I said, every once in a while. I remember that. The woman began to talk. And every once in a while, I would just kind of remember, yes. and she kept talking. And it was humbling, to say the least, because I knew I wasn't being helpful, and I was a little embarrassed, because, like, you know, I don't know what I'm doing or anything. And at one point, I bowed my head just to kind of hold my head, you know. And I'm sitting in the chair, and finally I had to leave. A little while later, my supervisor contacted me, and she said, "There was a woman who contacted me about your visit." Like, oh brother, this is it, you know. And I sat down with my supervisor, and she said, "I wanted you to know that this woman contacted me and said, you know, the young man who visited me was such a good listener. You know, he asked me how, and then he just listened. He says he didn't even interrupt or anything, and he was just so present, and it's just what I needed." Just what I needed. And I thought, that's what you call grace, right? That is grace. There's a quote on your insert that says, it's from a person named David Schwartz. I have no idea who David Schwartz is. But I loved what he said when he said, big people monopolize the listening. Small people monopolize the talking, right? And so today we're going to focus on listening. And we're exploring this today for a number of reasons. One, you know, first of all, because, I mean, Christ talked about it, and it's obviously important. Second, because our faith, and I talk about this a lot, our faith is about equipping us for life. And this is a critical part of life, is knowing how to listen. And then third, we're looking at this today because of some things that I think that we're all experiencing in our culture to some degree. And that is, I think that we've run into some listening problems, you know? And part of this, actually a lot of this, I put on the media. Because the model these days, I think, seems to be that the loudest, the brashest, the hardest hitting, you know, one who can overtalk and even insult, you know, other people, that's the person who gets on the camera, right? And it creates a culture, and the media not only allows this to happen, but it boosts ratings, so they actually help to create it. And I believe as a result of this, I think that in general, there's, you know, we are becoming more comfortable with talking at each other sometimes than taking a step back and giving time and listening and saying, what do you think? Right? So this is now, the reality is this has been going on, I think, really forever too. Right? Henry David Thoreau said way back then, he said, you know, we're more anxious to speak than to be heard. So that was being said then. And then Proverbs, there's a quote from your Proverbs and your bulletins. It says, a person of knowledge uses words with restraint. I think that's true. So listening is just plain smart, right? Just smart. It's also helpful. It's helpful. This is going to be no surprise to you that that, you know, leading marriage counselors say that at least half of all divorces result from faulty communication between spouses. Does that surprise anyone? I don't think so. Peter Drucker, who's been called by many, you know, the father of American business management, he claims that 60% of all management problems are a result of faulty communications. You know, criminologists tell us that upwards of 90% of people in jail have difficulty communicating with other people. That's why they're there. Now, before going into ministry, I did some volunteer counseling at the maximum security prison in Greater Hartford, in Hartford. And I can tell you that that is absolutely true. And that's one of the things that we worked with the people on. So listening is smart. Listening is valuable. So the question is, of course, how do we learn better? You know, and if any of you are thinking, I got this. Just remember that there are people, therapists, who spend years at working to learn how to listen, getting masters, getting doctorates, practicing through groups, and they're always learning. So one place to start, I think, is to look at, you know, what are some things not to do? How about that? We've all experienced this. If you take a look at your inserts, if you flip over the scripture page, you look at those top six most irritating listening habits, and you just think, you know, has any of these ever happened to you? You know that they have. Number one, interrupting the person speaking. Does that ever happen? Have you ever been guilty of that yourself? Right? I'm hearing a yes somewhere over my shoulder. I'm not gonna look at who that is, but you know, number two, going ahead or finishing the other person's thoughts. You know, somebody starts saying something, somebody else jumps, oh yeah, exactly. I know exactly what you mean. You know, and this happened to me. The person's like, well, gee, I don't know. How do you know? I didn't even finish what I was saying. I don't know. You know? Or number three. I was like, you go, I'm sorry, what were you saying? right? I was so riveted, you know. Always makes a person feel extra special, you know, when you say that to them, right? And not looking at the speaker, or, you know, or worse, right? There's a guy, guy's name is Lord Burkett. He said, I don't object so much to when people are looking at their watches when I'm speaking to them. It's when they start shaking them to make that they're sure that they're still going, right? Please don't shake your watches at this time. Number five, we all know this guy, right? You finish what you're saying, or you almost finish, right? And this guy comes back with, that's nothing. That's nothing. Listen to this. I can top that. You know, and you go, well, geez, that's, thank you, because I thought what I was saying was something, but thank you for clearing that up for me. It was apparently nothing. Right? Number six, you know, and you can tell this, you can feel this, right, that when you're talking to somebody, and you can just tell by the look in their eyes that they're just, you know, they're like horses at the gate, and they can't wait for you to just finish your sentence, because then they're just going to jump and, you know, this is what I think. Right? And sometimes they don't even wait. That's not conversation, is it? You know? So far beyond mere civility, really listening is spiritual. Listening is a spiritual act. Considering, you know, you think about this, you know, when you don't consider what another person says, when you don't consider what a person is really meaning, by definition, you're inconsiderate, right? We don't want to be inconsiderate. And I think that that's a lot of what people are feeling these days. It's just kind of this general sense of you know, incivility, inconsiderate, right? Listening is spiritual. So when we're listening, there are a lot of things that are happening in this process. It's a gift that you're giving on your part. It's a tangible gift. Because what's happening is, when you really are considering, when you're listening, you're actually giving a portion of your life to another person. And underlying this, that's what someone's feeling is either there or not. That's the value. You're giving your time, your life, your awareness, your attention, your consideration. And when you stop to actually listen, you're valuing the other person. You're acknowledging them. You're saying, what you're saying without your words, you're saying with your actions is that, you know, you're worthy of my life. You're worthy of my time. You're worthy to be heard. You don't have to agree with them, right? But they can still be worthy to be heard, I believe. And that requires patience. Patience is hard. We're not necessarily built for patience. But we remember the beautiful line of scripture from 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient and kind. So your actions say, you know what, I'm gonna listen. Why? Because you are at least as valuable as I am. That's what that's really saying. And when that happens, you know, you feel that, and that makes a connection, right? Draws people together instead of polarizing. So you take the word communication, which is interesting, comes from the Latin word commune, and commune obviously means hold in common, right? And that's where we get things like communion, community, even things like commerce, which really means trading together, right? It doesn't mean, busting the loser or something like that. Everybody wants to be in relationship. We want it, but then right off the bat, there are some problems. There are some built-in problems to communication. Because listening is actually hard. Listening is actually physically hard to do. Our physiology, part of our process. Good listening is actually physically challenging to do. Why? Because our minds actually can process about four times as fast as people can speak. So our minds can process up to about 800 words a minute, where most people speak at about 130 words a minute, except for my Aunt Ruth, who was up at about 700, I think. She was a speaker. Wow. But anyway, so what happens, with this gap, right, between 130 and 800 is that when a person's talking, it's easy for our minds to do what? It's easy for our minds to wander, to race, just like I'm talking now. And I know, and it's not an insult or anything, but I know you're thinking about other stuff. Right? I'm thinking about other stuff. It's okay. It's been said, as far as that goes, that a good sermon is one that's better than the person who's in the pew is narrating in his or her own mind. And I hear that all the time. It's like, well, I thought you were going to say, I thought you were going this way, but. So we're always competing with what's going on in other people's minds when we're wanting to communicate them. So the part of the process is forcing ourselves to slow down, knowing that this is a fact, we slow down. So there's a minister and a writer whose name is Chuck Swindoll. And he tells a story. He said that, on more than one occasion, he found himself with too many commitments in too few days. I know what that's like. We know what that's like. And because of that, he got kind of tense. We also know what that's like. And so what was happening? He said, I was snapping at my wife and my children, and I'm choking down my food at mealtimes and getting irritated, with the interruptions during the day. And he wrote a book called Stress Fractures, and in that book he told this little story. He said, before long, things around our home got to be reflecting this pattern of mind, this, hurry-up pattern of mind, and it was getting to be unbearable. And he said, one night after supper, he goes, I remember I was talking to our younger daughter, Colleen, and she wanted to tell me something important that happened at school that day. And she began in a hurry, and she said, Daddy, Daddy, I really want to tell you something, and I promise I'll tell you really fast. And he goes, oh my God, this is happening in our own house. And he says, realizing this, he says, honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. And she says, okay, Daddy, I will, but you need to listen slowly. Right? And he said, I thought, my gosh, you're right. As a child, you got it. You got it. I need to do that. I need to practice that, listening slowly, right? Now, think about that in your own life. Wouldn't you love it? Wouldn't you love it if someone took their time to listen to you slowly, right? And completely. not jumping in with their suggestions or anything, or just to hear you out completely. Your spouse, your friends. You know, here's a mind stretcher. What if Congress ever did that with each other? Wow, what would happen? Right? You know, we think about luxuries as being material goods, right? Luxury of a great vacation or this or that. You know, giving our time to others to listen is just a wonderful luxury. It's a wonderful gift that we can give to somebody we really care about. You want somebody to love you more? Listen more. How are you? So there are three basic qualities of listening, deep listening. The first one is, we've been kind of, you know, talking about a little bit, recognition that silence is important. When somebody takes a pause, we don't need to jump in right away. You can't listen if you're talking. Now that includes the talking that's going on inside of your own head, right? You don't have to be talking out loud. What are you going to say next? What's the, you know, what's my argument? What's my counter to this? Right. Second is a quality of deep listening is reflection. Reflecting on what, not just what they say, but you know, what do they mean? What's behind that? Means don't be so fast to jump to a quick defense to clarify your position. Well, this is what I, you know, you, this is what you think about this. This is what I think about that. Reflection includes things like, and this is on your sheet, you know, things like asking questions, skills, you know, paraphrasing. This is what, these are some of the things that therapists learn, right? I think you said, is this what you really said? Is this what you, you know, you clarify these things, right? You know, did I understand you clearly? You kind of, you know, feed it back to them a little bit. And then mind blower, when you clarify, then you actually give them space to clarify, right? Not, and you don't go, no, no, you said. That never happens in marriages. You know, did I hear you right? Is that right? St. Francis said, and you know, and even when you read these words, there's a beauty and we feel it. There's a power in these words. You know, seek to understand more than to be understood. We feel that immediately. Another part of this is called, it's a intentional skill, practice called suspending judgment. Suspending judgment. Just allow yourself, you know, and when you're really good, you can sit with people with polar opposite views. And you can say, you know what, I'm just going to carve out a little time. I'm going to suspend judgment. And I'm going to listen to, I'm going to listen to you. You're a smart person. You think differently than I do. Okay. I would love to listen. There's a wonderful, it could be a, this could be a mantra for relationships. Seek to understand and be slow to offer solutions. Little hint to the guys. That's called a laughter of recognition. There's a little hint to the guys that we, you know, when men talk, and it comes from, you know, hunting in the you know, forest and whatever, that we'd be of few words, and when we would say something, it would be kind of, you know, it would be a little bit life and death, right? And so we end up, you know, we are, you know, somebody tells us a problem, it means that they can't figure it out themselves, so they need a solution. Women aren't wired this way. I'm still learning. I'm still learning, you know, because it's different, because I'm wired differently. So I need to remind myself, just, you know, just listen. I don't need to offer, well, here's are three ways to make your day better when you say I had a terrible day. Right? Being fertile ground. So that's being fertile ground. When we think about our parable, that's the fertile ground. That's not having, you know, your seeds sown on the rocky soil and they get just, you know, torched, there's no depth, or thorns, they get, you know, choked with everything. These are the things that cultivate relationships. And you go back to, would you appreciate it? Would you appreciate it if others took their time to clarify your opinions, your feelings? Would you feel cared for? Would you feel important? Would you feel a little bit more inclined to snuggle? Tell me more about that. Not the snuggling, but the... So we have silence, we have reflection, and the third quality is presence. And you can't listen if you're not there, right? And not just physically not there. There's probably some people here, maybe you've heard the phrase, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, I do on some things, but you know, maybe you've heard from someone you care about, you know, you're here, but you're not really here, right? You're physically here, but I think your mind is somewhere else. Laura's never said that to me. You would know that that was a lie, right? It happens to everyone, right? So what does all this tell us? You know, Jesus asked questions constantly. We think about him being a great speaker, right? But he was really a fabulous listener, not only to what was said, but you know, one of his tremendous gifts were listening to the undercurrents, you know, what wasn't being said, too. You know, he asked the paralyzed man, do you want to get well? That's not just a rhetorical question. That's a fabulous question. He asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Somebody counted 142 questions that Jesus asked. Right? Relationship, communication, intimacy. I've said this one probably pretty often, you know, when I heard, because it just struck me when I heard somebody say, you know, the word intimacy, you know, you want intimacy in your relationship, and we think of the word as into me you see, right? You want intimacy, into me you see. No into me you see, no intimacy. Yeah. What's it like to be you? That's what's really interesting. What's it, what are you feeling? What are you... You know, what's it like to be in your skin? We love to be understood. One of the saddest things that people feel is not being understood. Right? Not being heard. I'm going to close with a silly story. So there's a construction worker, and he walks into a doctor's office. And he walks up to the receptionist. Receptionist said, what can I do for you? And he said, well, I'm here because I have the shingles. And so she says, well, will you please take a seat in the waiting room? And so the nurse calls him in, you know, the drill, and the nurse calls him in. She says, what can I do for you? He said, well, as I told the receptionist, I'm here because I have the shingles. And she walks out. And the next thing he knows, the doctor comes into the examining room. He's holding the chart, you know, barely looking at the guy. And he says, take off all your clothes. The guy goes, okay. And he takes off all his clothes. He's just standing there, you know, sitting on the butcher paper. And you know, he starts examining him, you know, everywhere, and you know, and finally the doctor goes, he says, why do you think you have the shingles? And the guy goes, because I got them outside in the truck and they're for the roof, right? I'm just telling it the way it is, you know. That's literally what happened. No. So Jesus says, he says, listen to my words. Give ear to me. People's hearts have grown dull. Their ears are heavy of hearing. Their eyes are closed, lest they perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn. And I would heal them. I would heal them. May we all be healed in this way. May we all be healers in this way. Amen. our God of love, our God of understanding, our God of extraordinary welcome. As we take this time of prayer and quiet recentering, we may heave a sigh of relief as we take this really sacred opportunity to calm our minds, to settle and open our hearts to your calming presence that we feel in your spirit, that we feel with the collective spirits of all of us gathered. And in the busyness of our lives that includes stress and challenges and successes, we relish to be able to have sanctuary, to have true sanctuary. Sanctuary that includes but is not limited to this beautiful space. Sanctuary that includes your spirit. Sanctuary that includes our family, our spiritual family, where we gather again and again to navigate this life that you've created that's just full of surprises. And so we take this moment to take a deep breath and to welcome it all in, to welcome your spirit, so that we can feel the comfort that comes from breathing in your loving kindness and breathing out stresses and anxieties and concerns. And as you created us, you breathed your spirit into us. And as we fill our lungs with your breath of life again and again, may we feel your life within us. May we feel your heart, your spirit. God, when we celebrate, may we celebrate with you and give thanks. When we are scared, may we reach out to you to ask you to take our hand and help us to guide us beyond our immediate fears. When we're anxious, may we reach out our hand to you or to one of your servants to help us to see beyond our immediate anxieties, to be able to live more intentionally in faith instead of doubt or despair. When we're grieving, be with us in our grief and help us to move beyond, not past, but to help us process and transition and shift to also include tears of thanksgiving for all that was. God, if we feel like we're walking in the valley of the shadow of darkness, may we remember to take a pause and just to be aware of you, even in that presence, knowing that you're with us every step on this path of life. Sometimes you walk ahead to lead us. Sometimes you walk beside us. Sometimes you follow behind to push us and encourage us. And when we're happy, God, when we're happy, please give us the presence of mind to say thank you, to look around at this incredible life of all that's good, and all that we can help to make good. We thank you for all of this, God. What a blessing it is to to be a part of our spiritual family of faith, walking this journey together with each other and with you. In your spirit, with our Lord Jesus Christ, this we pray. Amen.